Geekish Cast is a member of the Astro Panda Productions Network. Welcome back to Geekish Cast. I'm your host, Jeremy, and joining me today is one of my two favorite actresses named Tamsin McDonough.
Hello.
Well, thank you for taking the time to come back and do this. Last time we spoke was the month I was having recording problems with everybody.
Yeah.
But since then, I have also talked to one of your cast members, Tom Allison.
Oh, good. Yeah, cool.
He was doing a show where he was playing himself and Mrs. Claus.
Yes. Yes.
And I cannot
shut up. It's Christmas.
Yeah. I could not pass up that interview opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No. He's just wonderful. So,
yeah.
I'm sure you had a great time.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun talking to him. And of course, you work with him on the show Killjoy, where you play a spaceship named Lucy.
Yes.
That's kind of an odd one, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's become less and less odd just because, you know, I've gotten used to the idea. But when it was first suggested to me, it was a mixture of, okay, and yes. So it was, it's something that as an actor, you get asked to do the craziest things. So you just kind of, you're just rolling with it always.
Yeah, I imagine a few years into your career, nothing really stuns you or makes you go, what? Yeah.
No, it really doesn't surprise me. One of my first roles was as a drag queen, which was a lot of fun. And I learned all about the subculture, and now I'm a bit of a drag queen, which is funny, talking about Tom. He does this wonderful Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus in drag. So
yes.
and he's so beautiful just as a man, let alone as a woman. It's like, oh, come on, man, give us something.
Now, let me ask you on that, Tamsin. If you were, I assume your first role, so you were quite young probably when you were asked to play a drag queen. Did that screw you around in the head a little bit? Like,
no, okay, not at all. I started later anyway, so but no, it was one of my first roles. I didn't really know how to delve into it enough anyway to really go with the psychosis of you know, people dressing, cross-gendering dressing and so on. So, and it was also, it was more, yeah. So it wasn't something that I even knew how to fully get into anyway, even if I was super young at the time. So it was more just really fun and really interesting to try and play this kind of character. So,
yeah. I was just curious as a woman being asked to play a man who dresses as a woman, if they'd be like, but I am a woman.
Yeah. No, it was just, that sounds awesome. Like, that's
cool
to me. That's where I get more excited. You know, love the drama roles and love those kinds of things as well. But I think the more I do them, the more I realize I really like the interesting character roles. So, you know, playing a spaceship or, you know, doing the sci-fi stuff or the comedy or whatever it is, where it's definitely a character based character.
Right.
I tend to gravitate towards those, and I also tend to, it seems, be better at them, so fine by me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Well,
so I believe Killjoys, you guys are getting ready to start filming season 3 here pretty soon.
They have started filming.
Oh, they have? Okay, I knew it was coming up, but I couldn't remember when. But
yeah, I just did Tricon with Tom, actually, and he told me that they had already started filming, so.
Oh, wow. So now you playing a voice on the show. You have played also a version of the ship who was in a person's body, but
yes.
Playing a voice, do they bring you in later into the recording to do that?
It's at the almost at the very end. I get to, so one of the sort of, I guess, mild negatives is that I don't get to interact with the cast. However, a huge plus is that I get to see on a massive screen all the characters, and, you know, then they just slot my lines in. But I also get to see all the special effects, all the world. So, you know, I'm not acting against a green screen. I'm acting against, you know, sitting in the cockpit of Lucy and, you know, talking to Johnny. So it's really cool in that way. And that because I'm coming in and I'm not sure why it's done this way, but somebody at one point mentioned, oh, you know, Lucy's a great tool to have as well, on top of, you know, the character and that kind of thing, And that sometimes we've added lines in order to, we realize once we edited that we needed to add in something. We needed to get some information across, and we just get Lucy to do it. So I have a feeling that's also why it's at the very, very end. So,
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool. So you play a character and a narrator.
no, not so much
No, I
narrator,
know.
but just that during her conversations, she
Right.
can clip stuff together a little bit that maybe wasn't, clear or maybe got, lost in translation or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, so it's just sort of nice knowing, oh, I'm helping to pull the story together even a little bit more. So it's fun.
No, I followed you. I was just trying to put it together in my head.
Got no, fair enough, fair enough.
Yep.
I'm it is Saturday, let's pretend it's morning. So, I'm not necessarily communicating the best.
Exactly. So you said you got into acting a little bit later. What was it that got you? Well, here's the thing. So I'm assuming you're artistic.
Sort of, yeah,
Okay.
I guess,
So what was it in your background that attracted you to acting, and how did you get into it?
It's funny though because my parents are both the teachers, and my mom became a principal and started opening schools and so on and got her doctorate and yet the way that they were with us when we were young, all of us, there's five of us, was not a lot of TV or almost none. And oh, you want a Barbie house? Okay, well, let's go make one. So it was very, always imagination, always creativity, always thinking outside the box. And we also didn't, we didn't have most of the technological stuff, So, because they wanted us to use our brains. So we, I mean, it was all about making up things constantly, make believe, make, imagination stuff. So, kind of junior high, popped into a drama class and went, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. And then, but, coming from a family of teachers, which is a very stable job, it just didn't even sort of dawn on me that I could do this as a living. So, I went and did photography school out of high school, and then I did, my 4 years of communications degree, and then sort of went, I think I need to do this full time. So, and was taking classes here and there at all the schools. So, it was something that I didn't think I could make work. And then it turns out, oh, no, you can. Lots of people do that. So,
That's outstanding. Yeah, I'm one of those people. I have to have a full-time job because I drive an expensive car, and I need to know that tomorrow I'll still be able to drive it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, acting, you take a vow of poverty and then you just kind of cruise along and see if you can pull out of that. If
Exactly.
not, you just kind of are okay with, not having a car and, you just kind of
Oh yeah.
cruise along.
Well, but then you have
Sometimes
to
you're up,
find you.
sometimes you're down, so.
Yeah, you find the work fulfilling, and then it works out, is the hope, I imagine.
And then, sometimes you do very well
Yeah.
and then it's like, okay, this is awesome, but like you said, it's less stable. So, I don't go and get a really nice car to worry about.
Exactly. And see me, I kind of subsist on a diet of worry.
Ah,
Yeah.
fair enough. I got you.
Sometimes we do that to ourselves.
Yeah, totally,
Yeah.
totally.
So what was your what direction were you headed before you decided you could make it as an actor?
It's funny though because I was all over the place because I think, subconsciously my brain was like, nope, actor, nope, actor, nope. So things I was really interested in were criminology and abnormal psychology, which I did a minor in at SFU, to sort of maybe go into, being a detective or forensics or something like that. So, just trying to give back in that way. And then I went, no, I'm going to be super selfish and be an actor. Swung wildly the other direction. So
Wow, that's a pretty wide field right there.
I know. Yeah. Who knew?
Well, that's let me see here, and I believe the last time we spoke, you come from was it a fairly large family, if I'm not mistaken? And
Four brothers and sisters.
almost or all of your siblings are artistically inclined.
Oh, they're all incredibly artistic. Yeah. Writers, graphic designers, web designers, artists. Yeah, they're very, very creative. So I'm just sort of doggy paddling to try and keep up. So,
That's gonna be a lot of pressure.
yeah, exactly. Believe me, I go home. I'm like, oh man, I thought I was doing okay. You guys are awesome. Yeah. No, they're very clever, and then the parents are incredibly clever as well. So it's a lot to catch up to constantly.
Yeah, I would figure. So you've got a regular TV show you do. What else do you do, I mean, to artistically fill your time as an actor?
I would say mostly writing, things here and there, doing little projects with friends, doing read-throughs and shorts and that kind of thing. You start popping around and doing projects, but sorry, I'll try that again. I do a lot of writing, so just trying to get that going as well in terms of, then you get your options and then you try and get people to buy it and et cetera. But, writing things for myself to be in, on top of the writing itself. There's always the selfish aspect.
No, that sounds fair to me. Are you writing? So, when you say writing things for you to be in, are we talking movies, TV series, web series, kind of?
It's kind of whatever strikes me. It's not something that I focus on one over another. I seem to have a couple of friends and I produced and starred in a web series that I wrote. But generally speaking, it seems I've been doing TV series. One is a historical mini series. So there's, yeah, it just kind of depends on what strikes me, and I never know what an idea is going to be or which idea is going to interest me for long enough to get it to fruition, completion,
Yeah, and Canada's actually been producing some pretty interesting television here lately. I mean, obviously, though many people may not know it, Killjoys is a Canadian production. And, yeah,
Erin Ashmore and Luke or Luke McFarlane are both Canadian.
it's filmed in Toronto, right? Am I wrong? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I knew I was somewhere close there.
You were so dead on.
Yeah. See, sometimes though the Ashmore brothers creep me out a little bit because I always think twins are up to something.
Not to be trusted.
Yeah, they always look like they're up to something. There's two of you who
Well,
I
I'm sure
can't
they.
tell apart real easily, so I know you're doing something.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Conviction shoots here too. So Sean and Aaron are in the same city together for the first time in a while.
Oh wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that was
And my
cool for
wife
them.
just watched a show called Romeo. It was a spy series from Canada. Now I can't remember the name of it. And it's one of those things like when you watch a lot of Canadian or British television where you start seeing actors from everything you've seen before. You're like, oh, I've seen that guy. He was usually a background player. Yeah. And so,
Get your popular actors and everybody wants them and there you
yep,
go.
that was it. So everybody that popped into this were like, oh, yeah, he was on whatever show it was. Or pretty sure that guy stood in the background in an episode of Corner of Gas, you know, things like that.
He was a dead body on such and such.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we start to it becomes a very small community of people who are, working in theater and people who are working in TV and, the genre TV, you get a lot of the same people bouncing around there too, because we've got also Dark Matter here and it's either The Expanse or Defiance. I for some reason get those two confused, but we shoot one of those here as well. And so we have quite a nice sci-fi community out here that we shoot. And then Vancouver, I know they shoot a lot of the superhero stuff, so Flash and Arrow and Supergirl and those, so
Oh yeah, that's well, you know, it's part of it's the trade the exchange rate between the Canadian dollar and the U.S. dollar, but I assume part of it's also because it's been that way for a while. So now you have a lot of Canadian talent who cut their teeth with Hollywood people who were working up there. So now you have a large Canadian talent pool, not just actors, but lighting, sound, cameramen, all the way
No,
around.
we've got some great crews that are just used to dealing with the best in the world, and they've raised themselves to that level as well. So it's pretty cool to be, part of this whole community that's top of their game.
Yeah, that's got to be a great place to be working. Now, one of the things I had a question about is it seems to be like there's kind of like we have New York and LA, you guys have Toronto and Vancouver, and as far as show business areas. Is there ever like a friendly rivalry between the two areas, or is that not even considered, or what's been your experience with people from Vancouver?
I don't know in terms of movies and TV, because I think it's, I think, I'm probably speaking out of my butt, but I think it's fairly collaborative in that, okay, we're going to, you know, oh, geez, we need a DOP for such and such a production. Okay, have you got anybody? Oh, great, you've got so-and-so. So I think it's fairly a community kind of thing, and that we're all trying to help along the Canadian film and TV industry. You know, there's friendly rivalries in that, yes, we shot that, and, you know, we got such and such a big budget film, and, you know, just sort of fun, you know, competitiveness, I'm sure. So I think there's usually a bit more competitiveness overall, not, again, so much in the film and TV zone, but with Montreal, between Toronto and Montreal.
Okay.
Just because we're so much closer. And,
right.
And, yeah, it's kind of fun with them, you know, so any of our teams, it's always a big game if it's Toronto versus Montreal, and, yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And let me see here. If I can remember the name of the show, which I probably can't, Being Human, filmed in Montreal.
Yeah. Well, they shoot quite a bit in Montreal as well, partly because they've got parts of it look very European.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty neat. And then there's a bunch of stuff shooting on the East Coast now, too, because it's so beautiful and it's such a different landscape. And, you know, they also have some great tax breaks and, you know, Canadian dollar again, you know.
Oh, I know. A friend or a writer-director who I've become friends with that lives in the Vancouver area, his movie just hit DVD, and I wanted him and the Fred Iwanek, who starred in it, to sign it and send it to me.
Yeah.
So he sent me an invoice for it, and it was like $25. I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. And then when I actually hit pay, it converted it to the Canadian dollar, and it was like $19.04.
Right, right.
And I was kind of like, I might have you guys send me my groceries from now on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's, you know, we're almost kind of used to it now, because we're just sort of, it always sits in this kind of area. So, you know, we're just used to it.
With any luck, this new president of ours is going to drive down the dollar, and your dollar will increase in value.
It's funny, though, because, you know, as a country, we want that. But as an acting or as a
somebody who's looking for work, yeah.
Yeah, it will dry up a lot of our work. So, you know, it's sort of, you want it, but you don't want it.
Yeah, it's good to theorize about some things. But, you know, exactly. On the other hand, I have bills due this week.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I did hear that Canada is talking about building a privacy hedge along the border with America now. I'm taking by your laugh, that's probably not true.
No. As far as I know, I mean, unless some, you know, private citizens have decided that might be fun.
Yeah.
We're certainly happy to have Americans up here.
That's good, because we're
bring all your people.
Yeah, because we're planning to visit during the spring up to Vancouver, so I'd hate to be
people.
To find an unfriendly people once we get there.
Right, yeah.
You guys have been friendly
you'll enjoy
all along.
Especially spring and summer get really nice.
Yeah, that's really the main question, is do I want to come up in spring or summer? And I'm trying to...
The later you can go into summer, the better.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's Emerald City, you know, the northern Emerald City, and that it's, you know, it rains a lot, and that's what makes it so beautiful there,
mm-hmm.
but it rains a lot, so... the further out of, you know, sort of shower season you can get, the more likely you are to be able to enjoy just really phenomenal days. So,
yeah. Well, it's kind of like Seattle. I've been to Seattle a handful of times. Similar. Yeah.
Yeah, almost identical. So.
And then I see, well, Vancouver looks so much cleaner, though. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Seattle in a while. Oh, yeah. Vancouver is really a beautiful city. I'm from Vancouver, so I'm, you know, very aware of it. And it just seems to get more and more beautiful all the time. Especially when it's not, you know, if it's not raining and it's just blue skies and the sun is shining and the green looks, you know, bright emerald green. It's really gorgeous city. And then everyone's out, you know, because it's very much a get out and go do something kind of city. So, you know, cyclists and rollerbladers and hikers and, you know.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something we've been talking about for like 2 years. So I was like, we're just going to do it this year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go as much into the summer as you can.
Okay. Well, that is something for me to remember then. So how did you go from Vancouver to Toronto, if you don't mind me asking?
I would love to stay in Vancouver, and I've tried a few times. I do find, and it's a great city, and I would love to be with all my family, but for some reason, it just doesn't seem to work with me. I think I'm better in a large city. Like I really enjoyed London. I really enjoyed New York. Yeah, I think I'm just better in sort of a tight, tightly packed city for some reason. Who knew?
Yeah,
Yeah.
some people like that.
Yeah, you just never know what you're going to be drawn to because the rest of the family is not as much. They enjoy, Vancouver being a bit of a smaller city. So,
Yeah.
who knew?
Well, one of the things that I discovered when my wife and I lived 150 miles from the rest of our family is you sure like them a lot more when you miss them.
Oh, really? Yeah,
Yeah.
no. I've got a pretty awesome family that we seem to all get along now. I think we squabbled enough when we were young that now we're very keen on each other.
Oh, there you go. That's kind of nice. So, is there a dream role hanging out there you'd love to land, whether it's a type of role or a particular character?
Well, I mean, Deadpool's become my latest obsession. I would love to do like a Lady Deadpool, Deadpoolia, whatever. Yeah, I would love to do action comedy, with still all the angst kind of stuff. Like I really enjoy that kind of role where you're bouncing around, you're quipping, you're having fun, but it's still all grounded in, this poor guy's pain of what happened to him.
Yeah.
You
Well,
know.
let's see. Have you ever considered writing a superhero story for you to play in?
Yeah, it's funny. I haven't yet, but it's something that you start to think, okay, I've just been working on sort of a mockumentary sitcom style, and so that's kind of rolling out. And then, for some reason, I was walking around. I got this idea for a little sort of alien thing, but like a comedic alien movie. So it's more sort of what kind of jumps on me because if it's something that I kind of force, okay, you know what I'm going to do now is I'm going to write a blah blah blah. It doesn't flow. I sort of have to try too hard on it. So it's almost something that has to come to me, and when they come to me, they come sort of half morphed in my brain already.
Okay.
So it's something that I just start shaping, and then take the months and months of shaping it and putting it down and that kind of thing. So I would love to because I think it would be really fun to do a female superhero would be really fun to do. Yeah, I'm just sort of waiting for her to jump in my brain.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
So when you get an idea for a story, it's usually half formed, or at least the skeletal structure is already kind of in your
Yeah, it
head.
kind of starts hatching really fast. And I've learned that, and it doesn't mean that, because I've got a whole bunch of half-hatched sitting in my computer folders. So it's something that I kind of, okay, write this down, and I just create a, whatever name I kind of give it right away, and just notes, and then just jam down a bunch of notes, and then it either just keeps going, and it becomes something very quickly, or it's something. Like trying to get this mockumentary done, the idea came really well hatched, but I was still trying to work on something else, so I kept banging away at this other thing. And months later, I was like, nope, that's not going. Go with the mockumentary. So, and then as soon as I got rolling on the mockumentary, it kind of yeah, just so it's something that I'm talking like I'm some sort of seasoned writer, but it's really just I'm just sort of flapping around in the shallow end of the pool, just kind of seeing what I can do and seeing if people like what I'm doing and so flapping around in the shallow end, that's really it.
Well, that's how you make progress and get out to the deep end, though, you know?
Exactly. So
Yeah.
sometimes you sort of hope, okay, somebody gets interested in your thing, and then oh geez, you got a whole bunch of stuff all packed up on a shelf and ready to go. So, and with each one you cheesy, but with each one you learn more and more each time. So
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, every success is built on like 20 mistakes, so
yeah, exactly.
yeah.
So, and I've got some doozies of mistakes in there that no one will ever read.
Oh, I'm sure.
So.
Well, yeah, if what's the old thing? If you haven't made a mistake, you haven't really been working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because I've got a comic book idea that I've been
Oh.
for like 10 years. I've been sitting on it and thinking, ah, I'm never gonna do anything with it. And then finally, I wrote like a 2-page treatment that kind of explained it. And then now it's just a matter of sitting down to do it, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm still playing with like how do you start writing? Because I haven't really written anything but a sales order for 20 years, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's there's writing courses and there's writing books and and a big part that people I think forget sometimes, read a lot of scripts. Read a lot of scripts. That's the big one.
Yeah, and these days I think you can just go on the internet and find I mean, it doesn't really matter what they're from, just so you can see the structure, but you can find all sorts of scripts to download.
Yeah, there's I tend to, depending on what, so mockumentary. I looked I printed out Modern Family, Parks and Rec, The Office. So I went through what I'm, the genre that I was poking around in, just, to get just to start to sort of write in that voice and write in that tone and those kinds of things. So, if you're looking at comic book, oh, sorry, you're saying a comic book, not a script. Sorry.
Well, it'd still be a script. I mean, it works out the same way. You still have to have a
Oh,
script to
okay.
do it. Yeah.
So yeah, I would just say read tons and tons and tons of comics, in the vein of what direction you want to go in. And I think I find it very inspiring, and you just read these very clever scripts. Yeah, so I just picked up trying to there's another idea that's percolating, and it's a lot sort of darker and edgier. And so my parents actually just kind of randomly bought me Inglourious Basterds script and a few others. So it's like, oh, perfect. This guy's got such a great, creative but dark but twisted but unpredictable mind. So it's a really great script.
Yeah, Tarantino does take you on a bit of a road trip. I can never tell if I'm sick of him or if he's a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think you can be both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm a wuss, so the Django was a bit gory for me, but the violent stuff is the only thing that I can't really wrap my head around. But I think that he's very clever, and his dialogue can be so incredible. And True Romance is one of my favorite movies of all time.
That is one of my favorite movies, and that is definitely my favorite Tarantino film. A lot of people say it doesn't count because he didn't direct it, but I say you look at that script or you look at that dialogue and tell me that's not a true Tarantino film.
Oh, it's absolutely a Tarantino film.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just didn't get to. He was too new, I think, at the time to direct it. But it's wonderful. I haven't read the script, but I love, and that's one of my favorite characters of all time is Alabama. That is a dream character for me to play. I would love that. Yeah, she's one of my favorite female movie characters of all time.
That's one you wouldn't expect to hear.
Oh, really?
Well, I wouldn't think so, because, well, first off, it's kind of a, what would you even say? Kind of, that character has become more obscure as time passed.
Okay.
And, usually when you ask people, it's going to be, I don't know, somebody who's currently popular or, Wonder Woman, something like that. No, Alabama's a really great choice.
Oh, I love her. Yeah, I think she, just because it was, this is a conversation I end up having with a lot of the more the female podcasters is the whole girl power thing. And to me, girl power is just getting good roles like the dudes, and that they're fleshed out, they're well thought out, they're a part of things, they make sense, there's nothing gratuitous on either end. But it doesn't mean that you have to be quote unquote strong, because strong often means, unfortunately, in a lot of Hollywood, I've been finding that strong means flat. Not that interesting, but basically walks into a room and punches everybody. And everyone goes, ooh, watch out for her, she's scary. And I find them really boring. And I don't enjoy those characters. So, for me, what's interesting, in Alabama, I found she happened to be a very strong character. That she, she was incredibly vulnerable and silly and. She wasn't the brightest in the world, and she had her little street smarts, and she was loyal and just loyal to a freaking fault. And, you know, had a, this twisted sense of what romance was and, you know, who she determined were good people and, you know, would lay down for, you know, the people that she felt were important. And, you know, and her ethics were slightly off, which for me makes it a very interesting character again, and just so well written. You know, so that's more the kind of character that I like, or, you know, even, you know, bad guys. Like, I love so many really great bad guys. There was a, trying to think of her name, but she was, she played the bad guy on Justified.
Oh, are you talking about the older lady, Margot Martindale?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, that is another character I just loved. I think that she was brilliant and fantastic and, you know, but, you know, those kind of characters that are just multifaceted, interesting. They draw you in and you either hate them or you love them or you're just dying to know what this weirdo is going to do, or, you know, you want them to be your little sister, but you feel strongly about them in some way. And I'm finding so many of these quote unquote strong roles, I just feel nothing for them because they just haven't drawn me in because there isn't enough to them. Anyway, that's just my point of view.
And do you think that's just because they like literally when they go, well, what is this character? She's a badass, and that's about as much thought as
and
they give it.
That's all that, unfortunately, you know, some of the breakdowns I see is, you know, you'll see. And the thing is that I'm not necessarily complaining. It's more just it's not for me because we've got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So at least now they're bringing in a lot more female characters to, you know, make a bit more of a balance when it makes sense. You know, there's, you know, on a submarine in 1945, you're not going to have any women. So I'm not expecting there to be any there. you know, when it obviously has to make sense as well. But, you know, I see a breakdown, and so often, unfortunately, it's, you know, the female is Margot, strong, knows who she is, doesn't take any crap from anybody. The man, strong, but in a vulnerable way, you know, things haven't gone so well for him, so he keeps his guard up, but you can tell that he's blah, blah, blah. And so they get this huge thing, even though they're saying, you know, these are both strong characters. He gets all this, unfortunately, you know, I've found, again, is that I find that he gets all this, you know, dimension, while some of the female characters, they're just strong and,
right,
quote unquote, sometimes become bitch.
And that's an easy flop to make, too, from strong to bitchy or just mean or whatever. And, you know, there's a, I'm going to get her name wrong, Mila Jovovich stars in the Resident Evil movies.
Oh, I'm more of a Fifth Element, but yeah, I haven't done Resident Evil yet because they look too scary.
Well, the thing is, the Resident Evil and, oh, what was that other one she did? Ultraviolet. That was about 10 years ago. Visually, very, very nice looking movies. But you feel like the characters they write for her, besides Fifth Element, which is an outstanding movie, but very often they're like, you know, badass chick with a sword and a gun and very tight pants. And there you go.
She can do so much more. You just look at Fifth Element, which, again, is one of my favorite female characters. And how lovely was she? It's just, you're just like, oh, you guys are wasting this talent, you know, that this woman has. But,
yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, Luc Besson, right on the edge of a super genius, and then he turns out something like The Messenger, you know?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Not good.
That's, I didn't care for it. It's an older one, too, and it's Mila, and she plays Joan of Arc.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, I feel like I've just wasted 2 hours of my life.
Well, I mean, I like that he gave her that opportunity to do something because he saw how, you know, great she was in Fifth Element.
Well, that's part of the thing, too. It's like Luc Besson, like his stuff looks like a Moebius cartoon book, you know, like a French French comic. Bright colors, inventive design, and crazy gadgets and creatures. And then to do something that's a little more grounded and grayer, I don't know. I just, for me, it didn't work. But
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people, there's those crazy, terrible people who can do anything and just beautifully and wonderfully. And you know, William Goldman can write Princess Bride and then also Marathon Man, you know. So he's a jerk because obviously he's way too talented.
We hate
that
guy.
But then there's some people that are, you know, okay, you've got a really great niche. you've tried to step outside, doesn't work, you know, acting, painting, directing, whatever it might be, stick to what you're really good at, because we love what you're really good at, you know.
Yeah. So. No, I can see that. So let me ask you, so right now, we just had two Star Wars movies with a very strong female lead character.
Mm-hmm.
The newest Star Trek movie, she wasn't a regular cast member, but they brought in a very strong second-tier-to-lead female character.
Okay.
I would say there's probably more female leads in sci-fi slash fantasy fiction stories right now than there has been probably since the 70s. Because a lot of times when you ask people, well, name a strong, a good, strong female lead from a sci-fi movie, it's Ripley from Aliens.
Yeah, and Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, with her passing away recently, I'd probably have more just like sad thoughts right now, so I didn't bring that one up.
Yeah, that's true.
But
true.
But with Star Wars having their two most recent movies had a female lead, I mean, do you see good things coming for female characters, at least in genre, if not on the whole, in television and film?
Yeah, that's what I think is that, to me, I didn't like either of those female leads. I thought they were just, again, okay, make her badass. Mm-hmm. And just completely one-dimensional, which was, especially with Felicity Jones, she's so good. And it felt like, oh, you wasted an opportunity with somebody who's so amazing. You didn't let her kind of, you know, step up. You didn't give her the script to step up with. But then, you know, and I'm going back to my show, you look at Hannah John Kamen. She is phenomenal on Killjoys. You know, she's the undisputed lead in that she's so dimensional. You know, it's not, and so many of the female characters on that, and that it doesn't become this, oh, we need to have a female lead in order to draw in the huge female audience. It's, oh, what's an awesome character? She happens to be female. Awesome. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I'm hoping it will become, is that I'm making this amazing character. What do I go with? Oh, this is definitely a guy. Okay, you go guy on that one. Okay, this is a transgender. Okay, we go transgender on that. You know, and you just kind of realize what the character is. And that I'm hoping will then give these more rounded dimensional characters, whether quote unquote strong or not, you know, again, you can have, there was a show, my parents have called The Closer.
Yes. Kira Sedgwick, right?
Yeah. And I don't find her strong at all, but I love her. I think she's weird and she's quirky, and she looks like she's going to fall apart at any time. She has moments of strength that she can then get things done, but she's incredibly intelligent. But it looks like she's got all kinds of social, you know, personality disorders, and she's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, like this is the point too, is that I think that there's, you know, and it will swing back the other way and we'll settle into the middle where it's not just these sort of token strong female characters. It will be a fifth element. If you're going to do a strong character, it'll be a fifth element. It'll be a Lilu Dallas, or it'll be an Alabama that have all this interesting stuff. Or you'll have these leads who are, you know, there was one about a detective who he was from the Men in Black movie, that was completely fastidious, and he was just super clean. He was OCD about almost everything, but he also could remember everything, and not strong character at all. He was, you know, scared of everything, but he was very interesting, and he solved all these crimes. I'm trying to think of the
Are you talking
the
about
show.
Monk?
Monk.
Yeah, with Tony Shalhoub?
Exactly.
Yes, I love that show.
Yeah, and it was just, okay. See, and this is, again, it's hey, we're taking baby steps. We're making all these, you know, to me, one-dimensional female characters, but at least they're getting starring roles. We're starting out somewhere. Like, I would so love, you know, that either of the two leads in the last two Star Wars movies could have been more like Carrie Fisher, who I loved and hated her because she was, you know, she was strong, but she was a jerk as well. She was this pompous, you know, elitist jerk who I loved, you know, that she wasn't perfect, you know, because perfect is boring and perfect isn't realistic, and I find perfect, this sounds weird, but I find perfect patronizing.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that because also, well, let me see. I'm going to have to sort out like three different thoughts and see if I can state them clearly. I think possibly when you have groups like Disney writing these characters, I'm sure everything is written by a large room full of people. And every idea is workshopped. Like, well, what if we do this? Oh, no, she might look too boyish, or you know what I mean, where you get a whole committee involved. Like, if you put together a committee to design a horse, you'd end up with a camel.
It's a great way to put it.
Yeah, and so I imagine when you've got a room full of writers or a handful of writers working on a character, they probably come up with some ideas that would be more in line with what you're thinking, but then some executive somewhere goes, well, we really need to sell toys to a girl, so what if we do this?
Yeah, you know and I mean? We want to go, you know, girl power. We want to tap into that. Yeah, but girl power doesn't mean perfect and boring.
Right. But
and unrealistic.
But, you know, 70-year-old executives don't understand that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that probably gets in the way. Because I am sure you have, you know, young script writers working on this who have these great ideas. And then somebody else who has the checkbook goes, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. So it's you know, I'm not saying I'm thinking of some brand new things that no one's talked about. It's you know, we're just...
Oh, sure. And
we're
trying
to solve all these problems, you know, so I think we're doing a great job.
Me too. Me too. Well, I can tell you, now, just as an example, like, I was going to try to find a writer to collaborate with for my comic book idea. And I found a kid who was gung-ho, and I set up a dollar amount with him, and about the week we were ready to do it, he writes me a note. He goes, hey, by the way, here, these parts of your ideas I don't like, and I think we could do this and be better. That wasn't the story I wanted to tell. So I just said, hey, man, you know what? I guess this isn't going to work. He's like, no, we can still do it. And I was like, no, we can't, because now I know that you're not feeling it, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that you know, as a writer, I'm sure you'll, you know, run into that it's, oh, wow, that's a great idea. Or you're right. This idea of mine doesn't work. But if this person is changing the entire sort of heart of it, and it's becoming something that you didn't want, i.e. the camel instead of the horse, then it's, no, thanks anyway, but, you know, that's not the direction I wanted to go.
Yeah,
so.
And there's on my part at least, no hard feelings or anything. I just, I can't collaborate with somebody who doesn't see what I'm shooting. You know, here's the thing, I guess, really. I was looking for commerce, not art. I was looking for, hey, here's my ideas, help me, you know, string these scenes together with character actions, some dialogue. That's what I was looking for. Yeah,
got it.
And I'm sure, you know, all of us that have a slightly artistic inkling are mostly going, well, yeah, but I see an opportunity for this.
Right, yeah. Right. So. Yeah, I mean, it's. I think also, this is unsolicited advice, but I would interview a whole bunch of writers, because to have a collaboration is a kind of awesome thing if you're on the same page. And it would just, it exponentially increases the wonderfulness, this is a great sentence, the wonderfulness of whatever you're working on if you're on the same page, if you guys are adding to each other's ideas and you're not taking away or you're not changing them drastically.
Right.
So I would say go and talk to like another five writers, because you will eventually chance upon somebody and you're just, dude, yeah, oh my God, yeah, that's amazing. And it just gets better and better and becomes, you know, and it's very inspiring when you've got somebody else who is adding to it instead of just kind of, you know, not for lack of a better word, just being the lackey and just kind of putting stuff down as you ask for it.
Anyway, just. Oh, no. And I agree. And that was, you know, kind of my thought. That's why like I said, he's thinking art, I'm thinking commerce. And that's kind of an unfair position to put an artistic person in. Mm. You know,
yeah.
And I realize that, but you know, so I got my ideas. Yeah.
It's mine. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the other thing is my wife's actually a writer. So after I told her that, she's like, well, how come you never asked me? And then I'm like, I could have sworn I did, but I really never did.
Yeah. You got a built-in collaborator. So
exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to try to write it and then give it to her to clean it up and I'll take another pass.
Very cool. Nice.
Yeah. So that should hopefully work out. So we are starting to run down on time. Are there any projects you've got coming up you want to get the word out about?
No, nothing I can chat about yet. So, I'm going to be really boring on that front.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Will you come back when you do have something to talk about?
For sure. I
Excellent.
absolutely would love to.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You are a fun conversation, so.
You too. This is always our second kick at the can is just as fun as the first, so.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, so Killjoys has started again, so we can look forward to season three soon.
Yep, I'm not sure when. I assume it'll probably be around the same time, maybe July or somewhere in that zone.
Yeah, I
So
think
I'm gonna try
it's
for the same
summer
release.
when things start rolling out. I can't remember
Yeah.
right now. But anyhow, Tamsin, if people want to check out your work or anything, you want to throw out your IMDb page or anything else?
Twitter. I always love chatting with people on Twitter. So it's at Red Tamsin, TAMSEN. I'm attempting to be better on Instagram, which is the same at Red Tamsin. I do a little Facebooking. I need to get better at that, so I'll wait until I get better at that before
Before
sending
handing that
people to
out.
kind of a somewhat static page. Just chat with me on those two.
Fantastic. All right, everybody. In the meantime, you can catch us at geekishcast.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/geekishcast. And I tweet from @TheGeekishCast. So long, everybody. Geekishcast is a V as in Victor production and is part of the Astro Panda Productions Network. You can find us now on SoundCloud and on Blog Talk Radio. Our theme music is taken from the song Out to Get Mine by Reign of Zeus. Check them out at reignofzeus.net.